So, Gavin, heading into the closing weekend of League of Ireland Premier Division action, and most of the stuff was all sorted out, I suppose, at this stage, Gavin. And we'll start with Finn Harps. If we go back to 2005, you were part of a side that was relegated with one game to go as you were set to make the drop down to the First Division. It's a similar case with Finn Harps this time around after what took place last week. So it's a different sort of game for Harps as they stare relegation in the face. How did you, I suppose, take on that challenge way back in 2005, knowing that you were going down with one game to play?
Look, the last game was a pretty dull affair, so it was. I think, if I remember correctly, it was home to Bray, which we lost. But look, it was hugely disappointing. The season itself in 2005, was the league was very strong. I think Cork City won the league that season, and It was a tough season. Look, we battled and we were close and we were thereabouts, but we just weren't good enough in the end. Felix started the season as manager, and Anthony Gorman took over during the season, and look, things really didn't change that much. Anthony then took over for the next season, and he had a full rebuilding process with the squad for 2006 in the First Division, which was tough, and there was a hell of a lot of new players, and a hell of a lot of young players got opportunities at the time too, which was good, but It was tough again. I think we only finished around fourth or so in the First Division the next season. So again, it was another disappointing. So it's a big for a club, especially a club like Harps. It has a big knock on effect. Relegation has, you know.
Yeah, and if we look at this season as it went on, was the writing on the wall for relegation? And when you break down, I suppose the matches and the figures and the games, how it went along, the side that actually relegated you, when you can't beat them in that season, the sort of writing's on the wall. So it is. Gavin?
Yeah, look, it obviously boiled down to the games against UCD. Themselves, UCD and Harps are sort of cut well adrift of Drogheda and Shelburne above them, so it was a two-horse race for relegation for a long period of time, and a lot of talk was about the UCD game at the second last game of the season being the big one, and it obviously turned out to be. Now, UCD got 7 points out of the last nine, which is some turnaround, which they haven't done all season. So they've had form at the right time, and obviously with Harps, they've been in a real poor run of form. They haven't won in, I'm not too sure, 6 or 7 games, and that's just not good enough. 1-4 games all season is just not good enough. They've the worst defensive record in the league as well. So, look, all in all, you can't argue with the stats, you can't argue with the performances. And again, we all held out hope that with Ollie and the experiences that he had as a manager and the group, that, you know, they would know how to get a few results and pull it out of the bag, more so than UCD. But obviously that wasn't the case. So, look, hugely disappointing. And hugely, the game itself against UCD was disappointing in terms of, I wouldn't say the efforts of the players, but the body language and just the way they lost the game was disappointing. No, with so much at stake as well.
Yeah, and going on now to the last game against Drogheda United at United Park, does Ollie now maybe let the players that sat on the bench for most of the season, does he give them a starting berth now this weekend?
Yeah, he probably will, but again, it's sort of, It's a non-fixture in terms of the squad, the players. They're just fulfilling the fixture at this point. And the players that are bringing in, they're not really proving a point because of the way the season has went. They don't have a game after that. They get on the team, get on the squad, and whatever. So I would have thought there'd be quite a few changes and they'd give boys minutes. But at the end of the day, whatever team goes out, it's going to be the same sort of feeling, the same sort of build-up of disappointment, and just get the game played and get the season over with at this stage.
Yeah. Well, a couple of questions. What's next for Ollie Horgan, and what's next maybe for Finn Harps? We'll start with Ollie, Gavin.
Well, I suppose the speculation will start. And look, it's really up to Ollie himself. I know last year, it was a very good chance that he was stepping away last year, and they stayed on, and fair play to him. You could see this year was a big test, and it was tough on him. You could see in his interviews and his body language. But in the same token, he's been there 9 years, and in my opinion, he's been Harps' best manager in their history. He's been successful to a point on the pitch, and he's kept them in the Premier Division for 4 seasons in a row, which is a massive, massive achievement. And possibly a speculation if he stays or goes, as I say, it's really up to him. I think if he wants to stay, and I think he should be encouraged to stay by the Hearts board. I think he's probably the best man out there to get them out of this first division again and try and keep some sort of resemblance of a squad together. Otherwise, if he goes, I think it's a huge rebuilding process for whoever comes in and for Finn Harps as a club. In general, they need a sort of plan and a long-term plan of where they want to go and what sort of setup they want. But again, that's a story for another day. At the minute, Ollie's still a manager, and personally, I hope he's still a manager next season as well, because I think there's no better man to take him out of the first division than him at this point.
Well, what way do the club have to go then, Gavin? Say Ollie is in charge next year, what way do the club have to go? Because it was a case of going season by season by season. Does that have to change?
It has to change. Look, it's there's no doubt about it. The rebuilding processes that Ollie has had to endure and to go through at the end of every season, it isn't plausible. It isn't. As a club like Finn Harps don't have the budget, don't have the money to be rebuilding, go out and sign, and like I think it was 11 players in last winter's transfer window that they lost. You know, that's no good. They have to have a clear plan and a clear sort of a business model as much as anything in terms of both on and off the pitch of what they want to do, and they have to give the manager time and results if they want to go and try and bring players through the academy and have a wee bit more locally based in. Like, one, the players need to be good enough and they need to be produced to be good enough, and two, the management and the coaching and the setup has to be allowed to do that. You know, otherwise, like, it's not sustainable what Ollie has done over the last 9 years, and the turnover of players, it's no good. It's madness, and I think it creates a lot of waste in terms of budgets and players as well, because you don't get them all right, and it's obvious. So I think a clear plan and a clear structure as a club going forward, and creating an identity as a club as well, which is hugely important. I don't think Harps have one at the minute.
Okay, well, we'll get this weekend out of the road before we speculate anymore, maybe talk anymore on possible change around Finn Park. But UCD were the side that secured their place in that relegation playoff. It's not done yet for the students from Belfield, because they're going to have to meet the winners of either Galway or Waterford. But was it a case of maybe the structures at UCD compared to that at Harps was the difference between the two sides in the end? And I suppose if you look at the management that UCD have, there's a friend of yours, William O'Connor, of course, that's involved down there. Maybe that process of UCD was also a telling factor with them.
Possibly, yeah. We played them, as Cork Hull played them in the FAA Cup earlier on the season, and the facilities and the setup and down there and the professionalism that the club have is second to none, probably as good as anything in the country. And speaking to William through time about that as well, like, everything they need, they require, they want, you know, in terms of dietitians and sports psychologists, sports nutritionists, all that kind of stuff, and the facilities are brilliant. So, look, they're top class, and I would say that plus the fact that the players that they're dealing with, they're not worried about losing, they're not worried about players because they're on scholarships and they're at college, so they're working with the same group of players, and they don't have that big massive turnover that Harps have. So what they're coaching and what they're doing, plus the fact that, look, William is a top coach, and he's making a real name for himself in the game in Ireland, and that's a testament to what he's doing. And all in all, they probably have the setup a lot better than Van Harps have. Whereas I know Harps are training here, there, and everywhere, and there's no real base and no real facilities to call their own, and that's hard as well for a coaching and management setup to actually plan around as well. So there's a lot of that that could factor into what's happening, you know.
Yeah. Can you see William O'Connor progress on in the coaching roles? Obviously, he's been involved at international level at underage, and now he's obviously there with UCD, and he certainly has the talent and the ability to be one of the best coaches in the country. Can you see him stepping up the ladder over the next couple of years, Gavin?
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's got ambitions. He loves and breathes football, which is huge. But he's a real confidence in his own ability as well as a coach. And he got into coaching at a very young age, and he's went through the badges very quickly as well. So, like, I have no doubt his ambitions are there to do that. And as I say, he's more than capable of what I've seen and what I've experienced with him. Like, he's more than capable of being going right to the top of the game here in Ireland, or maybe further abroad as well. Yeah. You never know.
What about staying up in the Premier Division? Are UCD good enough to stay there? Because Galway or Waterford, depending on who wins that game on Friday night, it's going to be no easy game in the one-off relegation playoff.
No, it never is. A lot of the times the team coming up from the First Division are coming up with real momentum and real confidence, but and the team going in the Premier Division are in a bad run. But this time, UCD are going in with a bit of confidence and a good run. As I say, they've got 7 points out of their last nine, and they look hungry and eager, so it's a very, very difficult one to call. Like, over the season, UCD have had a lot more tests and bigger games than, obviously, Galway or Waterford, but really, any one of them three are it's too close to call. I'd say I haven't a clue who won it, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, we'll wait to see how it pans out. And I suppose the standout fixture this weekend, Gavin, in the Premier Division involves cup finalist Derry City. They're hosting Dundalk at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium, and there's a lot at stake. There'll be a lot of money at stake when it comes to European football, and it all depends where you finish in the league as well. But Derry know that if they don't get beat by 3-0, they're going to secure that second spot in the Premier Division. But I would say Rory Higgins is getting into this game, and one thing he's not doing is telling his guys not to get beat by 3-0. He'll want to win it.
Ah, certainly, and I think they'll want momentum going into this cup final in a couple of weeks' time as well, which is a massive day for Derry. But again, it'd be hugely disappointing, and I'd be very surprised if Dundalk would beat Derry by 3 in the Brandywell. But look, stranger things have happened, and the last game of the season can throw up surprises as well. Dundalk, as well as Derry, are in a great run of form. And you couldn't argue with them if they did finish second, but it would be a major surprise for me if Derry didn't go out and do the business and get the right result to finish second.
Yeah, and when we go now to the nitty-gritty of the league, one game to go, Derry finishing second, and if they can take the cup, that would be seen as a tremendous season under Rory Higgins' management, so it would, and for Derry as they progress forward.
Yeah, I would think so. I think they're slightly ahead of where they expected to be, but Rory's done a brilliant job since coming in there. I know there's fairly big budgets involved, and there's backing and whatever, but still need to do it on the pitch, and still need to get the squad together, and there seems to be a good togetherness in that squad. They seem like there's no poor bad stories or issues coming out of or rumours coming out of the squad of players unhappy and stuff, which is a testament to any management team, but that's also a testament to being successful, and I would say next season you'll see a real title push and real progress in there. They're probably the only club in the country at the minute that can compete with Shamrock Rovers, so it's a big test for them next season.
Yeah, what would Derry need to do? Just like, there's fine margins here, so there is between the top two, and we've seen it in Shamrock Rovers and Derry City. What would Rory Higgins, from his point of view, need to do with the squad to get that bit closer to Rovers, and if they can overtake them?
Yeah, it's hard to know. Like, the obviously squad depth of what Rovers had. Like, I watched the game Rovers against Derry and the Brandywell earlier on the season, and they made a triple substitution. They brought on Richie Toyle, Rory Gaffney, and I think it was Roland Finn together. So that's real depth. That's real squad depth. And I think Derry just probably lack that to a point, but they're getting better. And I think also just if Rory could get an out-and-out goal scorer, an out-and-out number nine, I think it would be a huge asset to the squad as well. But look, every club are after that. But other than that, they just need to add around the edges. They've got a very, very good side, some very, very good players there.
Gavin, that's it for this evening. Thanks for joining us on The Score. And as always, enjoy the football at the weekend.
That's great. Thanks, Jason.